All right, next we're going to turn to Romans chapter 5 and verse 13. Tammy, you want to read that for me, please? Romans 5 and verse 13. I told you Romans. I'm sorry. That's Revelation 5:13. Maybe that'll sound better. We are studying Revelation tonight, right? Revelation 5:13. All right, Mike, staying in Revelation, go to chapter 6, 16 and 17. Revelation 6, 16 and 17. All right, and Larry, the last passage, Revelation 17, 14. So the passages we use this evening to begin with, Revelation 1, 5, and 6, Revelation 5, 13, Revelation 6, 16, and 17, and now Larry's going to read for us Revelation 17, 14. All right. I'll just share, because you only got to hear it one time. I've been working on the lesson, so I know what I'm looking for. All of these passages you read show their victory. The victory of God the Father and the Lamb. Shows the victory of God the Father and the Lamb in the very beginning of the book, chapter 1. Chapter 5, the victory, chapter 5. Chapter 6, which we probably won't get that far, but let's quickly go to 6, 16 and 17 just for a moment. Okay, remember prior to this, we'll hopefully get there tonight, but prior to this you had the righteous crying, "How long, O Lord?" Remember? Now he gives the answer in 6, 16 and 17. The idea of the mountains from rocks fall on us, those are the unbelievers. Those are the one that has caused difficulty for the Christian. And then if you look at the bottom of 16, it states, talking about fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne. Who's that? That's the Father. For him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. You see the difference there? Him who sits on the throne and the wrath of the Lamb. So what's happening when we get in chapter 6, from chapter 6 through chapter 20, God is showing his wrath upon the unrighteous. Now, in doing that, you're going to get the mark of the beast. You're going to get the other beast. You're going to get all these other things. But what we have is we've got the picture that they've won. They've won. And then, of course, the last passage, 17:14, which Larry read, that's talking about the Christ. There's no question about it that that's talking about Jesus Christ, correct, in 17:14. So here's what I come up with. When you study all these symbols, you might have a difference of opinion on some of those symbols. But whatever your opinion is, cannot contradict they win. They win. They won from the beginning, before the letter was given. They won as they talk about the different conflicts that are going on, and that they win at the end, because in the end of Revelation, my understanding at the very end of Revelation is talking about heaven itself. So you have here on this earth, they win, and they win through these tribulations, and they win because they have heaven. Therefore, yes, this is a book that has symbolism, but don't get bogged down in the symbolism. It bogged down in the theme. Daryl?
We may be confused by this. Some of this may confuse us, but I'm confident that the Christians that first that this understand this, I'm confident that those that first got the letter did understand.
Yeah, I think they had a better understanding than we do. Although even then, I think even John said, you know. Remember the angel said, who knows? And John said, you know. And that was explained there. But you're right, because they were more familiar with figurative language back then. We don't use figurative language in our general discussion with each other. All right, so let's go on now. I've got it marked down that we're at the third seal. Did anyone else mark that down? My wife's not here to confirm it with me, but that's what I have. So I'm down to verse 5. Verse 5 and verse 6. And of course, let's read verses 5 and 6. Gary, you want to read those two verses for us? Revelation 6, 5 and 6.
When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, come and see. So I looked, and behold, a black horse. And he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand.
Okay. Oh, go on.
And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius, and three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the
okay, now we're going to talk about this in a moment, but you might want to note back on Thyatira and the trade guilds. Remember we talked about one of the problems with Thyatira was, and it is subjected that in the trade guilds, you had a lot of nonsense, ungodliness going on, and it's a possibility, I can't prove this, that if you weren't in alignment with them, your life became more difficult and it became harder for the substance to live on, and I believe that's what we're talking about. So, Angela, I want you to read for me. I want you to read that big section on David Roper. Just below the text where it talks about the black house, this rider.
This rider carried unusual equipment for a horseman. The first rider had a bow, and the second a sword. But this horseman had a pair of scales, apparently to weigh out the grain mentioned. The necessity of weighing one's food implied a limited supply. Denarius. The denarius was a day's wages for the common laborer. A quart of wheat was, therefore, about as much as would support a person of moderate appetite for a day. In the troubled times depicted, a workman could earn only enough to buy wheat to feed himself with none left over for his family. Men with families to support would have to buy barley. Barley was a coarse grain, normally considered fit for consumption, only by animals or by those forced to live like animals. However, it was cheaper, 3 quarts for a denarius. According to ancient writers, the prices quoted in verse 6 were 8 to 16 times higher than the normal prices of wheat and barley. The picture is one of rampant inflation.
Now, I'm going to give the answer before you ask the question. At the end, how do we know it weighed 8 to 16? You don't. We're taking this writer's word for it from his study. But it's gone way above, and I think it was Larry or someone told me, what's interesting, that wasn't hurt was what? And what would that be? The rich. So it looks like the rich were not affected, and I don't know if all the poor were affected. In my opinion, I think it's focusing more to the Christian, the suffering that they were receiving because they wouldn't concede to these different things. I definitely know that would be a possibility with the trade guilds. If you didn't go along with the program, you may have lose your job, or if you didn't lose your job, you were put in a very menial place to where you didn't have the funds. And again, that's my opinion. So when I look at the four openings here, we see it starts out with victory and war. We see we have, as we talked about, the black horse. And now as we go from this horse, let's turn to page number 43, because now we have the fourth seal. Now, does anyone want to talk about the third seal? All right, so we're on page 43. Let's read Revelation 6, 7, and 6, 8. T, do you want to read that for me, please?
Death and Hades, all of them. And power was given to them over a fourth of the earth, to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beast of the earth.
Okay, to me, this is the culmination of all the things that's previously said. You have death and Hades, and Hades is a place of the unseen. By the way, we heard about death and Hades before in Revelation. Do you remember what chapter? 1. Let's go to chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. And what do we learn about death and Hades in verse, I believe it's verse 19. 18, thank you. Verse 18. Go ahead, Angela, since you brought that up. 18. Well, she brought the right verse. Okay, so we're talking about death and Hades here, but who's got control over that even? Christ. Okay, it's easy for me to say, because I'm not in their difficulty. They're going through a massive difficulty. How long, O Lord, will you avenge us? These are ones who are now out of the tribulation, and they're still wondering when. And it's not revenge, but avenge, to avenge us. We get to look back and see, God's still in control. Now, I don't know if we'll ever have a time like that again today. I would imagine in some foreign countries they do. But it's possibly we could down the road. The point is, this is a good letter to study because it gives me confidence. Even if things get as black could be meaning horrible, I can withstand, you can withstand. That's what I get out of this. Anybody else on that before we go on this fourth one? All right, let's look at the passages then. Well, where did we leave? Oh, I've got one that didn't go on the right passage. Okay, 7 and 8 we read, right? No. Okay, let's look, okay. Notice what I said. The text is, well, when I say text, you can't disagree with that because that's coming right from the text. The text is focus, death and Hades, power and power over a fourth of the earth. So this is not talking about the final judgment. This is talking about a major judgment, but not a final judgment, because over a fourth of the earth. You see how I came up with that? And then when we go to the next section, in the future, let's go to Revelation 20:14. At the very end, when all of this is over, when this world no longer exists, in Revelation 20:14, what's going to happen to death and Hades? All right. Ken, do you want to read that for me when we get there? Revelation 20 and verse 14.
And death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death.
Okay. When death and Hades, and then from 14 on, it is my understanding, then you're talking about heaven. You're talking no longer on this earth, you're talking about heaven. And if there's no longer this earth, you're no longer need for death and Hades. Because if you're in heaven, you're in heaven eternally. If you're in hell, you're in hell eternally. So there's no more waiting place, you're either or. But that's at Revelation 20, not here. So he's dealing with the turmoil they're going through there and goes to the end of time. All right, let's go on as we look at this. Larry, would you read that box on the pale ashen horse?
The horse and his rider symbolize judgments, trials, and tribulations. Notice the use of the sword, famine, pestilence, and wild beasts. The doom of Jerusalem was foretold with similar figures in Ezekiel 5:17-14:21. He has authority over the fourth of the earth. This shows the figure does not represent the final judgment, but a temporal judgment. The rider is death and Hades, the realm of the unseen, where the soul goes and the body dies. Follows greedily. That some of the saints will be killed is evident from the fifth seal.
Okay, now that's interesting to me. Because he's giving the answer to those who are already under the throne, saying, how long, O Lord, right? They're in their white robes. But now he's telling them, some more of you are going to die, right? And we learn that as we look at the chapter. If we go down just a little bit, where does it state? Okay. And for the testimony, where am I looking for where that some of them, that's okay. Verse 611, next page, go to 611. Now I'm tying 611 with what Larry just read, that it's evidence that there's going to be some more to die. In 611, let's go ahead and read. Danielle, you want to read verse 611, please. Who would be killed. That means there's some right there who are hearing this. They're going to die too. Okay, remember which church? Be thou faithful unto what?
Death.
Do you remember which church that was? Smyrna. Remember Smyrna? Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. Now, we use that phrase generally, and it's true. Do we need to be faithful unto death?
Yes.
But in the context, there's going to be some at Smyrna that might be what? Put to death. You be thou faithful, even if it means your death, and I will give you a crown of life. You see that? So again, you see how we're tying this together as we go back to some of the other passages. All right, as we go down, talking about the how long, 610, we'll go back to page 43. Daryl, you want to read the how long box for me? I'm sorry.
You want the box at the very bottom?
Yes, sir.
Lord, how long the Lord gives no direct answer to the saints by a time frame for his actions, but the rest of the book is an answer to this question that God responds to on their behalf. Slaughtered saints are given white robes and are told the rest of the law. They are told that saints on the earth are still undergoing their suffering.
Okay, and I like how they put it there. By the way, if you have his book, you might have his book, How Long, O Lord. He gives a brief summary. He does in 10 pages what I ain't even close to being done with yet, but he gives a synopsis of it. But I like what he says there, him and his wife, as he gives no direct answer to the saints. Doesn't give a specific date. But he said the answer to that how long encompasses the book of Revelation. I like that. I like that. That's what it's talking about. All right. Anybody want to talk before we move on? Yes, go ahead, Angela.
And, you know, the natural thing that would follow persecution would be want and hunger, famine. And then what would follow those two things would be death.
Yeah.
And everyone's going to die, but everyone's not going to be persecuted.
Right. And I'm glad I'm going to stop her there. Because she's talking about everyone's going to die. That's one of my points Sunday night. So we'll move on from that. Now that's a good point. Turn to page number 44. Okay, I'm going to quickly go in. Well, no, we'll get down to it. I was looking at the clock. We've got time to do this. Okay, we read verse 611. Let's read 12 through 15. Chet, you want to read those verses, Revelation 6, 12 through 15. Actually, read through the end of the chapter.
I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and some became black, sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell on the earth, and the fig tree drops its late fig when it is shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man hid themselves in caves and in rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand?
Okay. Who's asking how long? The saints who have been persecuted to death, correct? How long before you avenge, not revenge, avenge us? Well, we need to understand the difference there. God's not doing things for revenge. He's avenging unrighteousness in his time frame. Okay. Now it starts telling us that. Now what people get all boggled down in are the various figures of speech that were just read. And that's what they are. They're figures of speech. And down below that, well, let's read that first box before we talk about figurative language. Let's go to that first box. I shouldn't ask who would like to. So, well, who's going to raise their hand and read that first box? Tabitha is. Yes, ma'am. Now, this goes back to what Daryl said in the beginning of the class, and I agree with what he was saying there. There's a lot of people in the first century who would understand these figures of speech because the Jews who came out of Judaism that are now Christians, they've heard that type of terminology before. So they understand it, and I'm going to give you three illustrations of today in just a moment. But let's read that next box. Okay, Mike, right below that, figure of language. Especially, okay. Especially verse 4. You were going to say that, but I cut you off. I'm sorry. Glad my wife's not here. She'd remind me that tonight. Now, we're not going to go back to those areas, but as these other nations were, they have similar language to this. It does not mean it was speaking literally, it was figurative. Now, let me give you some illustrations. When the sun no longer shines and you don't see the moon, the first thing that comes to my mind is September 11th, 2001. How many of us remember where we were at September 11th, 2001? It's been a long time ago, isn't it? But I remember it as it was yesterday. I was at the hospital taking my mother-in-law for a doctor appointment. I was looking forward because Jake was going to be released from the military in 3 weeks. He was going to go to Illinois and try to get on the football team. But everything changed. I don't know if it was sunny outside. I don't know if the birds were chirping. I don't know what was going on. All I know, something has happened in this country that has never happened before. And so, could I have used the similar figurative language talking about 2001, September 11th? Sure I could. It's like it scrolled. Now, fortunately, we weren't destroyed as a nation. But what were you thinking at that time? I mean, thank goodness for whoever stopped all the planes. How many more places would have been destroyed if those planes hadn't been stopped? And of course, on that time, September 11th, 2,976 people died that day. 2,976 people. Now, the figurative language that's used here in the overtaking of Rome and over, do you see how that can relate to us as we look at a major event? The difference being is our society still stood. Now, let me give you another one. Going to take some of you out of the equation. 1963, what major event? John F. Kennedy got assassinated. I know exactly where I was that day. And I was a young boy. I was in grade school and things didn't make sense because teachers all over were crying. And I'm wondering, what in the world are they crying? A bunch of sissies. What are they? But then I found out they were not sissies. A very major event happened, yes.
I was in Zaragoza, Spain. Me and a good friend was watching television down in Zaragoza. Come on, the program was come on in Spanish. La Presidente de los Estados Unidos bought us off an auto. And that's the President of the United States has been assassinated. We called the base. They said, get back to the base. Go to your room. Stay in the room. Do not go outside. Don't linger. We're on alert immediately with 45 miles from base. Had to wait till the next morning. They said, do not leave your room. Go right now to your room. It was on alert for 30 days over there.
But see, these are national events that puts an image in our mind. The rest, you know, like you said, when Jake on 2000 on the towers, I couldn't get a hold of him that day, but the next day I found out his leave was ended. He's staying in as long as they need him, and he stayed in another year. that was. Okay, so that's two events. Let me give you one event that I was not present. I might be old, but I'm not this old. And that is Pearl Harbor. Pearl Harbor, 12/7/1941. And at that time, 1,200 people were killed in that day. Not to say others didn't die later on. What kind of effect did that have on this nation? Okay, I said all that to say this. What type of effect has Rome had on the Christian in the first century? And now what God is saying, things are going to change. The heaven's going to be rolled up. In other words, this nation's going to come to an end. Do you think they thought that in the first century? No. It took more than... Now, God could have done it immediately, but he doesn't work that way. But he's telling them, this tyranny that you've had to endure is going to end. And there's the figurative language. And again, I agree with Daryl. A Jew who became a Christian, I don't know how many Gentiles were in it, but a Jew who became a Christian would have an understanding of figurative language. Now, what my religious neighbor does is they run into these symbols and concoct a whole lot of things. You're going to get that later on. The mark of the beast. It's interesting what generation you are of who they think the mark of the beast was. Hitler has been identified as the mark of the beast. Henry Kissinger was identified as the mark of the beast. And there's been others. The trouble is, that's the problem when you try to go too far on the illustration. You got to keep things in its context. Just like 666. I like Homer Haley. Evil personified. For instance, what's the number most people don't like today? 13, right? Guess what first house we rented? 1313 Gunderson. Wow, that's double 13. Guess what our mailbox is here? 166. I'm glad you got the one. I teased my wife. I said, if it would have been 666, we'd have to buy another house. No. But again, we're dealing with numbers. That's what I'm saying. When you look at that, that's why you don't want to forget the big picture. Now, you may differ than me on some of these things, and you have a right to do so, because I can't say this is absolutely that. Oh, by the way, neither can you. But what I can absolutely say, God wins. And if you're his faithful child, guess what? You win. Then you say, why study this? It's exciting because it shows me here's this great difficulty that they're going to go through another 100 years. It's not going to just happen right then. But they've been told ahead of time, you're going to win. Wow. Okay, let's go on. As we look at 15, the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men. In other words, all of the nations who were not serving God, as this judgment of God comes raining down upon them, what do they want? They want anything to happen except to be before who? God, the Father and the Lamb. How do I know that? Because if you go at the very bottom of the chapter, at verse 16, fall on us and hide us, from the face of, see that, the Christians aren't saying that, because the Christians have a relationship with him, do they not? So who's saying that? Those who have ignored being a Christian, those who had been persecuting Christians, because he said, how long? Here comes the wrath. And who's going to have that? Okay, him who sits on the throne, that would be the Father, correct? Go back to chapter 4. Remember chapter 4, we've got God on his throne. You see how it explains itself here. And then, of course, the wrath of the Lamb. Now, think about this, the wrath of the Lamb. How often do people think about the wrath of the Lamb? Probably mostly never. We always think of the Lamb as the docile and the one who was our sacrifice, and he was. We had a good lesson Sunday night on that. But they forget the wrath of the Lamb. Who's going to receive the wrath of the Lamb? Those who are not in Christ, right? But people don't pay attention to that. Now, as we look at that, we look at the very bottom, the question is asked, who is able to stand? Well, from chapter 7 to 21, it shows who's able to stand. Here's what's coming. The Christian's able to stand. Those of the world will not stand. Whether they Now, can we take comfort in that today? I mean, look how evil society is. I don't know if you watched any news today. Little kids going to school, they're praying. And some nut job decided he's going to make, he, she, because he became a she, going to make a name for themselves, and they just kill two children. I don't know how many were hurt, but it's a shame that anybody was hurt. It's a shame that, you know, that morning, this morning, their parents sent their kids to school, young kids. You know, young kids are excited about school usually, are they not? Mm-hmm. Sent their kids to school. And now two families are setting burial things for their children. That's how wicked people can become. Going to get better? Mm-hmm. No. Thank God I'm a Christian. Now, I'm not suggesting that you hibernate in the house, but I'm just saying, you got two choices. If you're a Christian, I don't want any of us to go through that. It would be devastating to me if I got a call and one of my grandchildren were killed. I don't even like to think about that. It would be overwhelming. Words could not express that, so I can't express that. But that's how evil people are. And again, and I'm not giving a gun commercial. It's not the gun, it's the one who used the gun.
Right.
It's the one who used the gun.
When you just said something and you go back to Genesis 6, imagination of man's heart will leave a continuous.
Yeah.
Has anything changed? It's what it looks like. The imagination of man's heart is still on evil.
And that's because we as a society have turned, that's the first bell. We have turned further and further away from the truth. Those of us who are 60 or above, if you're below 60, you don't get to talk now. Those of us who are 60 and above, in your opinion, go back 35 years. I'm not saying it was perfect 35 years ago, but was it a little bit more godly 35 years ago? Yeah. Things have changed in the last 35 years, haven't they? I don't see things improving from a society standpoint. I think it's getting worse from a society standpoint. Thank God you're a Christian. Be an example so others can be a Christian.
Chuck, one of the problems that we have is nobody's scared of the law. Nobody is afraid of justice. Mass murderers and those that kill and rape and brutalize, they get their hands spanked and they may serve a few years in jail. And I'll just end it with that, but there's no punishment. There was a young man throwed a stone through a windshield and killed somebody, and he laughed about it in court because he's underage. He's not gonna be put to death for it. He thinks it's funny. I'm gonna tell you, it's not funny.
No.
What will you do with somebody like that? They have to be incarcerated a long time.
I agree with Joe, but I take a different position, then we'll let Daryl close the class this evening. My position, the reason it got like this, is because of religious leaders. They've been to too many funerals. Now, why do I say that? Everybody's put in heaven. Now, I'm not saying the guy holding the funeral should condemn them to hell. He needs to preach to the living. But so many people that people know who have deceased, some turned-around collar guy or some robed guy or however you want to do it, some guy with a tie, have put them into heaven. So people just conclude, well, the bottom line is God's grace is going to save me anyhow. Well, God's grace is going to save you if you have the blood. So that's my concern as to what's happened. Okay, Daryl, you get the last word, and then we'll leave it off with the questions. Amen.
And one of the most comforting books in the Bible, because it doesn't matter when you live, if you're trying to follow God, at times you're going to wonder what's going on. Why in the world is all this happening?
Okay.
And it doesn't matter what point of history you're in, what city you're in, there's going to be times when we as Christians look around and get trying to get to where we're being drawn into what Satan wants us to be drawn into, which is to give up. And God is saying, I know how bad it is. I know everything you're going through. That's what he's saying in this book.
And he's going to remedy it.
And I'm watching it, and I'm in control.
We'll end on that. I don't have a better comment than that, so that'll be the class for tonight.
Can I read one?
Absolutely, Larry. Yes, go up, please.
Chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed is the one who reads about the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near.
Well, that's you're second now, Daryl. That's the best statement to close with. And that's 1:3 that you just read. So again, Revelation 1:3. Thank you very much.